Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Barrel-Law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez, your host from Barrel, and today our guest is Rob LaFlaca, a litigation attorney and chair of the Advertising, Promotions, and Marketing Law team at Barrel. Today we're discussing cause marketing and employee engagement. Rob, thank you so much for being on the show.
Glad to be here, Tawny. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you enjoy doing and just generally your practice?
This area of practice is in the promotions and advertising and marketing area where we as a firm represent a large number of brands usually in their different promotion efforts, whether it be different advertising or sweepstakes, giveaways, coupons, all kinds of fun things like that. And what we're dealing with here, where we deal with, is a particular area where called cause marketing, which is a general term for basically when companies are trying to do well by doing good, in the sense that a broad term where it's a general corporate social responsibility, where the company has promotional campaigns where they partner with a charity and try to do something to help a particular cause or help a particular charity. It may be as simple as in your own office donating $5 to wear jeans on a Friday afternoon, or as complicated as a company's multi-tiered promotional efforts to promote their film or the merchandise that goes with the film. So it could be very small, it could be very large. Some of it's very easy to organize, some of it takes a lot of group effort. But overall, cause marketing is just when a company wants to try to do some good.
I believe that most of our listeners would agree that advertising, promotions, and marketing law isn't a super common practice. How did you get involved in doing this type of work?
That's a good question, Tawny. My office is down in Westport, Connecticut. And for whatever reason, maybe because Lucy and Ricky moved here once they left New York in the 1950s, but at some point in time, Westport, Connecticut became a hub for marketing. And a lot of different marketing agencies are based in Westport or in the nearby towns. And it just so happened that probably like 40 years ago, that the founder of the original firm that I came from, he was good friends with a neighbor of the owner of the Marketing Corporation of America, which is still down the street from our offices here. And being the good lawyer that he is, when his friend asked him, "Do you know how to do promotional law?" he said, "Yes, I do." So he learned it after that. And it has, you know, continued on as a part of our practice here in Westport for the past 30 years.
It's so interesting, and I'm really excited for us to have a conversation about what it looks like, because I think it's something that every listener and pretty much every consumer can somehow identify with. I mean, we've all gone through a grocery store checkout line and been asked to give an extra dollar to support a different cause, or in the month of October, seeing items that have been turned pink for breast cancer awareness. So I'm really excited for us to have a larger discussion about some of the background or the things that maybe go into a lot of these different campaigns or these marketing endeavors.
Yeah, no, that's a great point you made, because even for me, my kids are much older now, but when they were little, it's very tough to explain to your children that you do commercial litigation and there's lease clauses and res judicata and things like that. It's much easier to say, you see this on the back of the cereal box where you could win a free doll? I wrote that. So, yes, it is something that, you know, works with the kids, works when you're out with people. Everybody can understand because it's a consumer and a brand related issue. What you learn from this is really to look at everything that you're doing in terms of how understandable it is or whether it's misleading to a consumer in any way. And it's easy enough that, you know, you could still ask the kids, do you understand this or do you get this? And what do you think that they're trying to do here? Because that really is how it comes down to giving legal advice a lot of times in terms of do we need to say this or how should we say that? So that's why I do love doing this part of the work. It is fun.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today we're talking to Rob LaPlaca, a litigation attorney and chair of the Advertising, Promotions, and Marketing Law team at Verrill. And today we're discussing cause marketing, both generally and how it relates to employee engagement specifically. Rob, you've defined for us cause marketing in a general sense, but what are some different types of cause marketing campaigns? You and I have spoke in passing about different aspects or things we might see on a daily basis, but can you explain different types of cause marketing campaigns that organizations may employ?
Sure, and I think you know what helps is, you know, if you understand the different kinds of cause marketing, I think, you know, employers, employees, can all sort of join together and come up with ideas, because a lot of this is really, sometimes it's very grassroots in terms of, you know, I think we should be supporting a certain cause, or what can we do to help a certain cause? And you see that very often, and especially now when there are many prominent causes that have appeared, you know, in recent years with the Black Lives Matter, with the Me Too movement, or obviously with the COVID, that employees, you know, want to get involved. And, you know, knowing the different options that are out there, you know, are helpful. What a company could do, you know, goes from as simple as, you know, a flat donation. Just, we're going to donate $100,000, whatever it may be, to support this cause. We proudly support this cause. We support this charity, what have you. The company can sponsor events, the marathon races that you see for charity. All of these things are familiar to people because you see them all the time. You might have co-branded merchandise that it could either be given out with you and the charities or the cause's logo on it to people at different events, or just selling them and giving the money to charity. Other just giveaways like that. Actual fundraisers where the company you know, tries to get employees involved by putting a can in the kitchen of the offices, and the donations at checkout. We see that all the time. And then the big one is the purchase-based donations. And that's the one where it gets very regulated legally. There's a lot of different requirements that companies have to do to make sure that they are following all the regulations. Because the issue is, when it's a purchase-based donation, companies actually going out to the consumer and saying, buy this and we'll do that. We'll make a donation to this particular charity or cause. But now, because you're going out to the consumers, asking them to go into their pockets to pay for something, and that will be what triggers a donation, that's why that area is heavily regulated, whereas the other ones are, you know, much, much less so, if at all.
I think you make a number of really good points, Rob. And specifically, I mean, we find ourselves in a time in which the causes that an organization supports and the PR that they put out regarding support of different entities and organizations plays a large role both in employee morale, employee engagement, and not just from the consumer standpoint. I mean, I think even just in the course of the few months since COVID hit all of us, we've seen a number of different social justice campaigns, both related to the pandemic and unrelated to the pandemic, in which employers and organizations have to make determinations and decisions about both what nonprofits or other charities that they support, as well as in what way they support those organizations.
Yes, and you know, it all stems, like I said, typically from, you know, the employees themselves, in terms of, we'd like to do something. This is an important cause for us. And then being able to go from, I want to support this cause, to how can we support this cause? How can I go to my boss, to my superior, to my HR person and say, here's some ideas, or how, maybe we could support this cause this way or that way, I think goes a long way. If I could segue into that, I think we all know internally that a company having some kind of social soul is important, and we all like to see that, and we know we are very happy to be at a company. And interestingly enough, the people who do surveys have looked into this issue and see, is this really empirical and not just something anecdotal? And, you know, these studies have shown that as much as almost 80% of the employees may decide where to work based upon what cause or whether a company supports a cause. And over 50% of employees in these surveys have said that they would even accept less pay if they knew that the company was supporting a particular cause or causes that they were interested in. And it's been noted as being the third biggest factor of an employment decision for companies. And it's very clear that the millennials and the people who are more recently getting into the job market, this is even much more of an issue with them. And I think it all, you know, makes sense that the fact that it has become a much more prevalent thing for companies to do. So it is something that both the companies and the employees take very seriously, as they should.
I think those statistics are even more striking, considering the fact that, 50% of the workforce isn't millennials. So while people might be saying, this is a millennial issue, or that's what's driving this, or even Generation Z is driving this, those statistics show that this is something that is important and at top of mind to employees without regard as to what generational differences may stem kind of between the organization or the individuals within the organization.
Yeah, and I think it's the kind of thing that maybe perhaps it's not as obvious to perhaps the people in charge. They might not realize, because there are some startling statistics from the studies, and they might not realize that how important this is to an employee's decisions to join or stay with the company. Because it sort of does make you proud when you're with a big enough company that is associated perhaps with a particular cause. It makes you feel like you, by even working or doing something to help that cause in and of itself, because that strengthens your company, which helps the charity overall. But yeah, I think everybody needs to work together on this, because the charities do rely heavily upon these cause marketing efforts from the companies. And if I could segue for a second again, it doesn't need to be big, because it grows. And I'll tell you the story, because as I said, you have this, you purchase this, we'll donate that, which is called a commercial co-venture for the technical term. And now it's pretty common. You go into a lot of stores and they make this promotional effort, and you believe you're helping, which you are, by making the purchase. It all started more or less back in the 1980s with our Statue of Liberty, when the restoration project and charity running the restoration to clean up our Statue of Liberty, and maybe the 50% of employees who remember that happening, I don't need to explain it, but for the other 50%, the Statue of Liberty was in pretty bad shape back in the 70s and 80s. And Amex started a promotion where, as simple as giving one penny for every credit card transaction, which was donated to the restoration of the Statue of Liberty, that with that and with the other promotional efforts that they have, they ended up raising $5.6 million to help for the restoration of the Statue of Liberty. So a simple idea like that can really go a long way when it's all done correctly, in the sense that it really hits a tone with the consumers and with the other employees and all.
That's so neat to hear. And I think specifically the fact that it had such a huge impact, it is part of likely why this is so important to not just to consumers, but employees as well. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez from Verrill, your host, and I'm talking with Rob LaPlaca, a litigation attorney and chair of the Advertising, Promotions, and Marketing Law team at Verrill. Today, we're discussing cause marketing and employee engagement. And before the break, we got a full understanding of what the broad definition of cause marketing is, and specifically, it's where it got its starting point and how it assists organizations across the country, as well as discussions more specifically about the importance that cause marketing has on employees and employee engagement, and some startling statistics regarding the number and percentage of employees who would actually take less money or allow their income be lower as a result of believing strongly in the organizations or the entities that an organization supports from a cause marketing standpoint. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, cause marketing for employees, but is cause marketing something that's also important to consumers? And is that one of the things that pushed it into the employee realm, Rob?
Look, not to be disingenuous here, obviously companies want to do good, but companies also need to stay in business. So for any company, any brand that's selling an item, let's say, there is that having to think between how much can I give away to charity to help a cause and be a great corporate citizen in that regard, and how much can I continue to make by doing these things. I don't want to give away all of our money. That doesn't help anybody if we have to close down because of over generosity here. But it works where they both seem to help each other, and it'll start a snowball effect in terms of a company's sales when they are doing something, doing some type of cause marketing to do good. And the company actually does do well by doing good, as the saying goes. Once again, you know, there are studies on this because, you know, I'll get questions a lot of times from companies that have never done something like this before. And, you know, they legitimately have a concern with, you know, well, if we do this, you know, are we still going to make money? Are we still going to make the same amount of sales? And it turns out the company typically can make more money by having promotions where the consumers get involved by buying products that trigger a donation from the company. You know, in general, very, very high numbers that, you know, from the studies that 80% of consumers, you know, want companies to support causes, that almost 90% of consumers have said in the surveys that they would switch from one brand to another of, you know, equal quality if the brand supported a cause. And even so, that most of the people in that category have said that I would even pay more for the same product for a company that supports a cause. Getting again to the college students, the millennials, 90% of college students said they pay attention to ads that support a cause. And I know from the college students who used to, you know that I did things with cereal boxes, but the college students that I have now, in terms of they don't pay attention to anything. Or any types of ads. So the fact that 90% of college students have said, hey, I'll actually listen to an ad if there's a cause involved in this, is really significant and a good way to get their business. There's always the issue of, well, does the brand really think you're profiting over this? How legitimate are you being if you're going out there and saying that I'm going to donate a dollar to charity every time you buy my stuff? Aren't they just really trying to get you to buy their product? 3/4 of consumers will say, I'm okay with that. That's fine with me. And it's sort of that symbiotic relationship of the consumer, you know, helping in regard to helping the cause themselves by indirectly buying that product. But what comes hand in hand with the fact that the consumers would be comfortable with the company making a profit is that a startling number of only about 10% of consumers really believe that these campaigns are sincere. So when you look at that as a company, you have to say to yourself, it's okay if I do it, but I really have to do it in a way that makes the consumers know that we're being sincere, that we're really behind this cause, and that we're really dedicated to this cause. And that goes, you know, a long way in terms of how a company, how employees could suggest structuring the cause marketing efforts of a company itself to make sure that that 10% of consumers is on your side in terms of knowing that your marketing campaign is successful.
I guess that leads to a really good question, kind of when we're talking about it from a consumer standpoint, but what are some ways that employees themselves can get involved in cause marketing? When we bring it in-house, somebody has an idea, an employee has an idea or a cause that they want to support. What ways can a corporation assist that employee in getting involved in cause marketing?
Okay, so I think the first thing goes right along with that sincerity issue is, you know, finding a cause that fits with your company. And when you have the cause that fits, I think the best way to give you this is examples. Disney partners with Make-A-Wish. Apparently all little kids want to go to Disneyland. So partnering with Make-A-Wish makes perfect sense. And by another example, Tom's, the shoe company, you know, they'll donate a pair of shoes to people in underprivileged countries for every pair of shoes that you buy of the Tom's shoes. And the last one I loved that I thought of was Chewy. I don't know if you guys, we at my house have been for the past couple of years ordering online all of our dog food and everything else from Chewy. We have 2 labs. We have bags of food that come, I think, every other day. And Chewy just delivers these things. Love Chewy. This isn't an advertisement for Chewy, but I love Chewy. Anyway, they partner with the Humane Society. So when you have a hand-in-hand relationship with, you know, actually what your company does and how you can help a charity related to your company, that's, I think, the first fit in terms of what an employee may be able to do. And you see the companies then, what makes a sincere effort, to get back to the sincere effort in cause marketing, is usually you don't have one-off cause marketing efforts. You know, Chewy just won't have a promotion for the month of September that we're going to donate 50 cents for every time you buy a dog bone to the Humane Society. It's going to be a multi-year, multifaceted relationship with the charity. And that's where, you know, an employee's with the HR, with the employer's, you know, thoughts and input is find a good cause or causes that we're interested in that fit with us. And then how can we have a multifaceted way of cause marketing for this cause? So what are the different types of things we could do for this cause in a multifaceted sense?
You're listening to the HR Power Hour radio show. I'm your host, Tawny Alvarez, and today we're talking to Rob LaPlaca, a litigation attorney and chair of the Advertising, Promotions, and Marketing Law team at Verrill. Today we've been discussing cause marketing and employee engagement. We've just finished having a general discussion about ways employees can get involved in cause marketing. I mean, we've talked about now what employees can do and how a company can make a determination as to whether or not cause marketing would work for them. But let's say that an organization knows this is something that they want to do. What's something that companies should be doing when they're selecting a charity that they want to work with?
On a very basic level, you're going to need to have the company or the charity on board with the company. This is not something you normally do if it's going to be a bigger effort where you just happen to say, I'm going to donate to this cause or this charity, and then all of a sudden the charity sees a check. Surprise, here's a big check at your front door. Very good thing. I think they would appreciate it and probably accept it. But, you know, on the legal realms of these things, you know, you're going to want to be able to use the name, use the logo of the company in your promotion efforts. So you're going to need a license to be able to do that, their permission to do these things. The other things you want to do is, you know, to get more into the legal aspects of that, is that if you're doing solicitation for the company, so that's in the sense where if you're actually doing one of these purchase for sale promotions where at your store, you're saying, if you come to my store and you make this purchase, I'm going to donate a dollar or whatever to charity. In those instances, the charity is going to need to be registered as a charity in those particular states. So that's why a lot of times you see these efforts with the purchase aspect of it involving big nationwide charities that are registered in, actually it's only 40 states, 10 states don't have registration requirements, but let's, for purposes of, they need to be registered everywhere where this is going on, as opposed to if you're just doing a little small collection, small efforts for a local charity, the local Boys and Girls Club or something like that, the charity is usually registered in, you know, in that particular state, so that might be good enough. But it's the kind of thing you need to look at. There's a lot of information online where you could look into charities just to see, you know, how they use their money, how much of the donations they use for actual causes as opposed to business administration, whether there's been any issues, scandals, what have you with the company. So there's a lot of information available online, and that's the kind of background information you want to do with the charity because, as we keep using the term, I keep using the term, that you're partnering with the charity, that's good. That could be good and bad. So if there's something that goes wrong with the charity, that's going to fall on your shoulders also. So something you need to consider before you select the charity or cause that you're interested in.
Now, I mean, it's called cause marketing, and the marketing aspect is a big part of it. It's not just a donation. What are some do's and don'ts when an organization is advertising a cause marketing promotion?
When a company is advertising about a promotion that they're having with a charity, like I said, the first thing you want to do, you want to make sure you have their permission before you do use their name in any type of advertising. You want to make sure that, you know, any kind of advertising that you do have is very clear, especially when you have the situation of asking the consumer to make a purchase of goods. So you're going to have requirements of making sure you say certain things, making sure it's not misleading. And when you do have that purchase requirement involved, that's the heavily regulated area. That's the area where the company is going to have to actually register in 6 different states, where the company, the different state laws, about 25 states have laws specifically regarding these situations where there's a purchase by the consumer involved, where they're going to have specific contracts, specific contract information. And the most important thing, I think, in any of that, what they ask for, these different states, is to disclose to the consumers how much, dollars, percentage, but how much of your purchase is going to the charity. And it's an issue of mine, and everybody out there is going to be able to say, I don't see that all the time. I don't see that. That's that. Look at so-and-so. They didn't do that. They didn't do this, which lawyers hear all the time in all different kinds of areas. And especially here, because, you know, frankly, they don't police commercial co-ventures the same way they do serious physical crimes on people. So I can just tell you that people do things not correctly, or they might not realize that there's all these regulations involved. But so when you see all profits to charity and information like that, that really doesn't tell the consumer at all what's being donated. A consumer has no idea what your profits are. Probably most of the people in the company don't know what the profits are. So if you have a $10 item and it's all profits to charity, nobody knows if that's a nickel or if it's $9.99. So those kinds of things, just being upfront, goes back again to the main issue of just being sincere and honest and upfront with the consumers. And that's really why these types of regulations exist, just so the consumer knows, fine, I'm going to donate a dollar when there's going to be a dollar donated when I make this purchase. Good. And, you know, they all add up.
I feel like from now on, anytime a listener makes a purchase-based donation, they're going to hear your voice in the back of their head where it says all profits to charity and say, well, what's the profit? Because I know that now that's what I'm going to be thinking about when I see it.
I that's a scary thought for all of you. I didn't mean to get that on there, but yeah, it gets to be the kind of things that when you are the person who helps write review the small type, let's say, you really get into looking at it and seeing if everybody else is doing it correctly, or at least to learn something, and maybe there's a way to do something that you've never done this before. Complete aside, Tony, has nothing to do with this, but I want to tell a story on the small type that I thought was funny. Years ago, as you know, McDonald's has always had those promotions, whether it was Monopoly or whatever. You collect the different pieces, and you collect the pieces. When you finish up with all the pieces, you might win, you know, a date with Ronald McDonald or something like that. And I have a habit of always reading the small type, always reading the rules, always reading anything like that. And I'm at McDonald's, and the rules are printed on the back of the little paper menu they give you with the tray. And I'm pouring through them like this just to see how they say everything, whatever else. A little old lady comes up to me, and she goes, all you have to do is buy a hamburger, and they give you the piece. Anyway, I segue.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so perfect. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? On that note, as we're all sitting here belly laughing, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
HR Power Hour is proud to share the following information. Strategic HR 2020 moves from the Mount Washington stage to your living room this October.
Take a virtual journey around the country and witness HR leaders aspiring to greatness in challenging times and earn SHRM and HRCI continuing education credit.
Rates are in effect at strategichrus.com.
Then on October 21st, pour yourself some morning coffee and log on to 3 days of HR exploration.
That's at strategichrus.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsandME.com. That's JobsandME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez from Beryl, your host, and I'm talking with Rob LaPlaca, a litigation attorney and chair of the Advertising, Promotions, and Marketing Law team at Beryl. Today, we're discussing cause marketing and employee engagement. And we've discussed generally a lot about kind of different forms of cause marketing and things that organizations should keep at top of mind when they are deciding on participating in cause marketing and in choosing a cause to support or an organization to participate in these endeavors with. Let's go back, Rob, a little bit more. What are some other ways that employees can get involved in cause marketing? We talked about the importance of finding a cause that fits the organization's brand. What other things should be kept at top of mind when we're dealing with employees and cause marketing?
Right. I think that successful campaigns are the ones that get the employers and the employees together on the same page. And like I said, having a multifaceted promotion to once again demonstrate to the public, the consumers, that this is a really sincere effort on the company's part and on the employees' part. So it's the kind of thing where, fine, even if you don't knock on the boss's door and say, hey, I have a great idea of you know, who we should support or why we should support, et cetera, even if the company has already said, you know, we'd like to support this particular cause, this particular charity, knowing the ways a lot of other brands engage their employees in these efforts. Like I said, a lot of efforts are to the consumer, you know, to make money, sell your products, but getting the employees engaged could come up with, you know, giving the rewards to employees who do things themselves to give back. I give an example. I know that Build-A-Bear has a associate volunteer program that encourages the associates to give back locally to the charities that Build-A-Bear supports. And in return, the company gives them paid time off for their community involvement. Macy's encourages companies to donate their time to a lot of green projects. And in return, there's rewards and benefits for the employees who do this. Some companies go so far. There's a company, a new company, Ivriella, who makes different kinds of clothing and jewelry. And they support, their cause is the Save the Elephants in Kenya. And they've actually gone so far as to send employees to Kenya to work on the ground to help in these efforts. So these are ways that, you know, companies themselves do things with their employees on making sure that it's a company-wide effort to support these particular causes. And these are the kind of things that go back to the statistics on everybody feels better within the company when everybody's helping toward supporting a cause.
So really what it sounds like is companies can do a whole host of things that start from making a donation and maybe not putting sweat equity into the process, to literally taking employees and sending them halfway around the world to hands-on provide help and assistance to specifically chosen charities or organizations that company is partnered with.
Yeah, and those are the types of situations where you have the long-term efforts with a particular cause or particular charity. And those are the kinds of, both for the charity and for the company, that become very profitable because you've come up with a this is our thing situation. And by doing that, and everybody knows that, and the company gets involved, the employees get involved, those seem to work out best in terms of you know, what the consumers like to see, and you know, when they'll put their money where their mouth is, let's say.
Now, earlier we were talking about the importance of identifying and working with causes that work nicely with your brand, and specifically, you gave some examples such as Disney and Make-A-Wish. Is this the marketing team that often oversees the employee engagement portion of it? Do organizations just have their HR team take this on? Or do you have any understanding as to how a lot of organizations either institute specific cause marketing programs or otherwise make sure that some of these concerns are being hit or at least reviewed prior to kind of participating in one of these marketing endeavors?
Right. What you see typically is the way cause marketing efforts grow. You don't normally start with some multifaceted, many different types of donation or promotions going on. It usually starts small, it's successful, and then new ideas start to stem from it. So it could start in the employee HR realm. And then when it gets big enough that we need to have a whole team or a whole department in our marketing department or a little sub area for the charity portion of it, that just comes in and of itself by the volume of numbers that are generated by that. Obviously, the bigger companies are going to be able to do those types of things, but smaller companies can definitely handle these things. I have clients from the largest companies that do have all different kinds of divisions to the owner of little store itself that's selling jewelry and wants to donate, you know, 10% of every sale to charity. So it's easy enough to do. You could do more, you could come up with more ideas, but it's a starting small usually situation that I see that grows bigger.
I think that's a really good segue to my next question, which is, what would be some examples of what you would constitute to be successful cause marketing promotions?
I think that what I would characterize as successful marketing promotions are probably promotions that everybody listening or you would even be able to come up with if you took a couple seconds, because that is basically the definition of a successful campaign. Does everybody know about it? I think we have all either seen or purchased a product that was colored red when it usually isn't, such as our iPhone, such as our Band-Aids, such as the headphones. The product red, started by Bono back in 2006 to help fight AIDS, is an example of selling products that were money being donated to charity that has just completely taken off and been popular now for, if I could add right, 14 years. The Toms example that I gave you, everybody I think who, you know, has a Toms, the availability to buy Toms shoes, they all sort of already know, oh yeah, I buy a pair of Toms shoes, they donate a pair to someone else. That's a successful campaign. They got the message out. They're doing the right thing. They're matching it up with the right items. Another example I think is successful, and successful from the business side also, is the Disney Share Your Ears campaign. Now, this one may be more, you know, for people who are attuned to what's going on with Disney or social media, online Disney efforts. And Disney has, for a number of years now, had a campaign where if you take a picture of yourself with the Mickey Mouse ears, with the Minnie Mouse ears, and you post it online, Disney will donate $5 to Make-A-Wish. As I said, that's their big partner for Make-A-Wish. So take a picture of your ears online, we'll donate $5. And it's end up about $2 million a year gets donated to Make-A-Wish because of this Share Your Ears. But Disney also gets the advantage, even though they're not selling anything, they get the advantage of all across social media is people wearing the Mickey Mouse and the Minnie Mouse ears. And Disney looks good. Everybody gets to see their product, their mouse, everything else. And, you know, they're doing good in the process and making a lot of money for Make-A-Wish. And people find it fun. They love to take, you know, everybody likes to post a picture on Instagram or wherever else you post pictures. And it is just, you know, a well thought out campaign. And it's actually won an awards in this particular area. So those are the characteristics. And as I said, I think, you know, if you keep in mind that, you know, if you're credible, if it's recognizable, if you fit it to the right cause, and you know, you're able to get the message out and make the consumers feel involved, you're going to have a successful cause marketing campaign. And that's what we're talking about here, cause marketing. So it's not just, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not just putting, you know, $5 in the envelope and mailing it off. It's the marketing concept. And that's where we're all getting at in terms of, yes, we are getting this word out to consumers because it's going to help us along with the charity.
Such an interesting topic, Rob. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. We'll be right back.
HR Power Hour is proud to share the following information. Strategic HR 2020 moves from the Mount Washington stage to your living room this October.
Take a virtual journey around the country and witness HR leaders aspiring to greatness in challenging times and earn SHRM and HRCI continuing education credit.
Rates are in effect at strategichrus.com.
Then on October 21st, pour yourself some morning coffee and log on to 3 days of HR exploration.
That's at strategichrus.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm Tawny Alvarez from Beryl, your host, and I'm talking with Rob LaPlaca, a litigation attorney and chair of the Advertising, Promotions, and Marketing Law team at Beryl. Today, we're discussing cause marketing and using it for employee engagement. Now, we've spent the last segment talking about some successful forms of cause marketing, in addition to things that we should keep in mind or ways in which we can engage employees in these cause marketing endeavors. We've done a great job, Rob, of talking about things that work and good cause marketing campaigns. Let's end it on a bad note. What are some examples of not so successful cause marketing promotions?
I find, you know, ending it on this note, isn't meant to be a downer in that sense. It's meant to more be amusing a little bit. In terms of, you know, sometimes, you know, you just wonder, you know, what were they thinking? And I apologize if anybody listening to this may have been involved, or their company may have been involved in these things, but it still doesn't mean that you still scratch your head sometimes on what people were thinking. So as employees, as HR, you know, when you need to think things out, even when you want to do good, you need to think things out. And that's the example I'm trying to do here. So a well-known fried chicken company had a whole promotion where they were donating money every time you bought buckets for the cure for heart disease. Now, the fried chicken company, associating itself with the company for heart disease, or for a charity related to heart disease, you know, they got a little bit of slack for that, as did the soda company, who paired themselves up that literally, if you buy a mega cup of soda, they will donate $1 to juvenile diabetes. So, good thought, but, you know, maybe you got to make sure that there's a good matchup here. The other thing you got, besides a good matchup, you got to think a little bit beyond, and what are the consumers going to think of this promotion? Because like I said, you don't want to look like you're disingenuous. You don't want to look like you're capitalizing on a tragedy or a charity of some kind. You want to seem genuine about what you are doing. And there were two more recent examples. A credit card company during the last World Cup was going to donate 10,000 meals to people in need in Latin America each time that the Argentine forward Lionel Messi scored a goal. And it sounds like a great idea. But as soon as they came out with that promotion, before the tournament even started, they've got a lot of slack on social media, a lot of flack on social media about what are you thinking? What are you doing? Because, okay, first off, Lionel Messi may be really good. I don't particularly know, but he normally won't score 10 goals a game. So it looks a little cheap of the credit card company to say we will be giving 10,000 meals only if we're going to feed these people, only if this guy scores a goal. So you got to watch out. And honestly, you know, in a normal promotion, you are saying, if you buy this, I'll make the donation. And obviously the other side of the coin is, if you don't buy it, I'm not going to make a donation. But in this particular instance, it really came off, not too good for the company itself. And they had to pull the promotion before it even got going. And then I think they did end up doing something very good for the people with hunger in Latin America. And even within your own company, I have an example of a large box store that had a food drive for Thanksgiving for their own employees. I leave with that one because I think that says enough in and of itself that doesn't look good if the company has to get donated food for their own employees. So anyway, there's always good stories and bad stories about all types of things that goes on, as there is in cause marketing. But the bottom line is, I hope I gave some ideas on what to be thinking about and how people can get involved in cause marketing within their own company, even by starting small, and what type of ideas work and what types don't. So thanks for listening.
Rob, thank you so much for your time and appearing on the show. We really appreciate it. You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Stay tuned for the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tani Alvarez at Verrill. Did you know that in June of 2020, the United States Department of Labor Wage and Hour Division updated the Certification of Healthcare Provider Rights and Responsibilities and Designation Notices for FMLA purposes? The new forms are available on the Department of Labor's website and provide employees, employers, and healthcare providers with fillable electronic documents, as well as more easy-to-navigate forms. One significant, and what we believe will prove to be helpful, changes is regarding the medical information question on the healthcare provider certification. Now the healthcare provider can check whether the condition has resulted in inpatient care, incapacity and ongoing treatment, a chronic condition, a permanent or a long-term condition, a condition requiring multiple treatments, or pregnancy. With hope, this will decrease the need for multiple communications between employers and healthcare providers. Contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group to discuss more.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.